This evening in your Bibles, the book of Ephesians and chapter number 4. Yes, we are continuing on in our Wednesday evening series of One Another. We are discussing how we as Christian family should invest and minister to one another. So, how is it? What are the different ways? Well, we should love one another. We should exhort one another. We should pray for one another, which we haven't even mentioned that one yet, but nonetheless, we should encourage, prefer, edify. There are any number of one another's that we should do. Tonight, forgive one another. Forgive one another. Now, we mentioned early in this series something along this line for those of you who may say, well, you've already talked about this. No, what we talked about earlier was unforgiveness and the ugliness of unforgiveness. Now, that was sort of the negative. Tonight, we'll look at the positive, but we'll also bring in some of that as well. C.S. Lewis said, everyone loves the idea of forgiveness until they have something to forgive. Right? Everyone loves the idea of forgiveness until they have something to forgive. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. I'm going to read the companion passage to that verse, Colossians 3, verse 13, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. So there's a companion verses there. Ephesians 4:32, forgive one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Colossians 3:13, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. So, forgive one another. Forgive one another. Now, the underlying, though unspoken truth is this. Hey, yo. I don't know what you did, but the underlying, though unspoken truth is this. We are going to hurt and offend one another at times. Let me say that again. These verses say forgive. They demand that we forgive one another. So what is unspoken but evident is that we're going to hurt one another sometimes. We will offend one another sometimes. Or simply, there would be no need for Paul to tell these churches, or to bring it down a little further, there would be no need for Paul to tell these church members to forgive one another if it wouldn't be necessary at times. Paul says here, be kind one to another, tender-hearted. And then he says to forgive one another. So, there's no reason for Paul to say to do this, except it's going to come up. It's going to happen. There's going to be occasions in which we have to do the work, the hard work of forgiving one another. Excuse me just a second. I'm sorry. That's going to distract me the whole time. Sorry. I go from not having any voice to being too loud and echoey. So, friends, regardless of what earthly relationship it is, we are going to say and do things that hurt one another. We're going to. We're going to hurt one another's feelings. We're going to cause pain, sometimes unintentionally, other times purposefully. We're going to say things we shouldn't say, and we're going to forget about things we shouldn't forget. And it doesn't matter what relationship it is, it's going to happen. It happens between wives and husbands, does it not? It happens between parents and children. Something that took me too long was to be man enough to sit my children down and say, I was wrong, forgive me. Took me too long to figure that out. Siblings, brothers, sisters, are going to hurt one another. Our so-called friends can cause us pain. Our co-workers, our in-laws, but also church members. In fact, Luke chapter 17, verses 1 through 4 says, it is impossible but that offenses should come. Now that could mean, and depending on how you understand it, how you interpret it, it could mean that the idea of offenses is putting stumbling blocks to sin in the path of another. As in one person tempting another to sin, to do wrong. It could be that, but it could also mean offending or hurting one another. In fact, Luke 17, verses 3 and 4 deal directly with forgiveness and the fact that Christians must be a forgiving people, even amongst ourselves. The act of forgiveness is a recurring, necessary act in the Christian community. Even among Christian family, even among close friends, we will hurt one another. As I said, sometimes we do it unintentionally. Maybe we're just absent-minded. Maybe we speak before we think. Maybe we react in a negative way without processing what that individual is facing or going through. Sometimes we do this very unintentionally, but also sometimes we hurt one each other because it makes us feel good. It happens in homes between husbands and wives and boyfriends and girlfriends and brothers and sisters. And it happens, unfortunately, sometimes at church. We purposefully say things or do things that hurt. And when you are the one who has been wronged, forgiving that person or persons, those who have wronged us, is hard work. It's hard work. In fact, I would say that forgiving someone really, especially that has seriously wronged us, is one of the most difficult and self-denying commands in the Bible. Now, I just say this in case I forget it later. Sometimes you just need to toughen up a little bit. All of us do. We ought not to be thin-skinned. We ought not walk around with our feelings on our sleeves and somebody forgets to shake our hand and we don't talk to them for 2 months. You know, we ought to be tougher than that, right? We ought to be able, in biblical language, to just overlook minor offenses. Do like Elsa and let it go. Just let it go. We ought to be willing to overlook minor offenses. But if it's so, you know, what I may deem to be minor, you may deem to be major, but if it's significant enough that you can't just let it go, you ought to be a peacemaker. You ought to seek to bring peace in these situations. So we ought to forgive one another. But just to be sure that we are all on the same page, what does it mean to forgive? What does it actually mean to forgive? What I want to do here for just a moment is think about what it does mean and really what it doesn't mean. So what is forgiveness and what is not forgiveness? Let's contrast these two. What is not forgiveness? Well, forgetting is not forgiveness. Forgetting is not forgiveness. I mentioned this, I believe, it's been, gosh, 2 or 3 months ago now, but some have suggested that if you forgive someone, that you'll also forget the offense. And I just don't think that's realistic. I just don't think that's realistic at all. You can, in fact, forgive someone, yet not forget what they've done. You can forgive without forgetting. It is, I think, unreasonable, illogical to expect a wrong to simply or magically disappear from your memory even after you forgive that individual. There are things that I feel like I was done wrong. I can think back to walking through the mall when I was 9 or 10 years old with an older kid from church, and I did something that embarrassed him, and he put his hands on me, and I mean, pinched the fire out of me to the point where I was started crying. And that embarrassed him even worse. Old Joker done me wrong, and I ain't forgiven him yet. But I haven't forgotten that, but I've long since got over it. I hope I've gotten over it. Maybe not sounded like it tonight, but all of us have some memories like that, right? Someone has said something sharp, twisted, hurtful. Someone's done something. And it didn't magically disappear from your memory, but I hope that you have or are in the process of forgiving that individual. So forgiveness is not necessarily forgetfulness. But forgiveness is this. It is this. Listen, I am choosing not to hold this wrong against you. I'm choosing not to hold this wrong against you. Or I am giving up my right to hold this against you. I'm giving up my right to hold you accountable for this wrong. Forgiveness is one person canceling or dismissing another from their right to punish. In other words, you've wronged me, and I have the right to hold you accountable for that. But I choose to dismiss your accountability, to forgive you of it. Very simply stated, in a few words, forgiveness is overlooking an offense. Overlooking an offense. It is pardoning a wrong. But, and this is something that I think is important, something that has taken me a while to process, and I hope I have a much better grasp of it now than I have in the years past. Forgiveness is not equal to reconciliation or restoration. Forgiveness is not equal to reconciliation or restoration. I can forgive someone even if our relationship or fellowship is never restored. Now, get this. Forgiveness is what I do in my heart, in my mind, in my life. Forgiveness is what I do regardless of what you do as an individual. You, and in this case, you quote the offending party, you may not want or think or see any need to ask for forgiveness, and that's fine, but I can forgive regardless of what you do. I can choose to forgive, you can choose to forgive another, but that doesn't mean, and this is what I think is an imperative, just because you choose to forgive, to pardon or overlook that offense, doesn't mean that you must reconcile with that individual or restore the relationship with that individual. And here's why. And I said this in our study of 2 Samuel in dealing with David and Absalom. When and only when there is true contrition or repentance, can there be true reconciliation? Billy Joe Bob gossips about me around town, runs my name in the ground, hurts me, hurts my ministry, slings mud at my family name. Now, I can forgive Billy Joe Bob and do the process of working through and praying through and asking God for grace to forgive him of what he's done. Whether Billy Joe Bob ever comes to me or not, I can still forgive. Forgiveness is what we do, regardless of what the other individual does. But in order for Billy Joe Bob and I to have fellowship again, to restore that relationship, he's got to confess the wrong, acknowledge what he has done, and then repent before God and ask for forgiveness from in this case, from me. In other words, I can't reconcile as long as he refuses to acknowledge the wrong, but I can forgive. Forgiveness is what you do, is what I do, regardless of what anybody else does. Whether that other person ever apologizes, whether that other person ever confesses or not, you can forgive and you should. The New Testament requirement to forgive is mandated regardless of what this other person does. Listen, be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ hath forgiven you. There you are commanded. If your brother has aught against you, you have aught against your brother, be a peacemaker, reconcile, forgive. But that cannot be done unless the erring party is willing to confess and repent. And what is repent? Repent is to change. So let me say it like this, because I have heard some really dumb things in my life. The biblical command that we forgive does not entitle someone to treat you like a floor mat or a punching bag. Someone, and I've heard some dumb preachers say some dumb things. Someone's involved in an abusive relationship, and he says, the preacher says, well, you just need to forgive your husband for that. Well, I can forgive him. I can forgive an abusive spouse. But if they're going to keep on beating me, I'm out the door. I'm not required to stay in that kind of relationship, whether it's physical or verbal or whatever else that it is. Because I should forgive. I should forgive that person for what they've done. But unless they're willing to change, repent, show true contrition, and have a different behavior than before, there cannot be true reconciliation. And there are people in my own life and probably people in your own life that you and I have worked through the difficult task of forgiving that individual, but we've also said, enough's enough. I'm putting up boundaries here. I'm through. I've given you one chance, two chances, five chances, and you've broken my trust every time, and I'm just not going to open myself back. I'm not going to be your punching bag. And until someone makes a true, repentant change, there can't be reconciliation. So don't confuse that. And that's something worthy of, you ready for this? Something for you to meditate on. The difference that exists between forgiveness and reconciliation. It would do you well to think on that. But then also I'll say this, forgiveness is not weakness. It's not weakness. In fact, not at all. Forgiving someone who doesn't deserve it. Forgiving someone who has significantly hurt or wronged you is difficult work. It's hard work. It takes time. I'm convinced that sometimes it takes years or even decades to work through the hurt that someone has done to us, to truly forgive them. Whether that person apologizes, confesses, or not, we are to do that hard work of forgiveness. Whether trust or fellowship is ever regained, still we are to forgive. Forgiveness is what I do, no matter what they do. But let's think about this. Why? Why forgive? Why forgive? I've got five quick reasons, and we're not going to develop them fully, but why forgive? Number one, if you do not forgive, the only person you're hurting is you. Billy Joe Bob is not hurting when I fail to forgive him. Billy Joe Bob goes to bed after gossiping on the phone all night. He goes to bed and sleeps just fine. A failure to forgive only injures you. It's not injuring that other individual. You think, because, and listen, I've dealt with this far more. Pat knows well some of what I have in mind. As we process these things, you don't get that out of you, it ain't going to hurt anybody but you. I've used this illustration before, but it fits so, so well. You go out in the woods. In fact, you wouldn't have to step far out here, and you find an ivy vine growing up a tree. You see them. They'll start small and they get bigger and bigger. And if that ivy vine is not chopped off, that root, that vine will continue to grow. And it will little by little choke the life out of the tree. It'll take its sunshine. It'll take its nutrients. It'll take its water away. Until eventually, and it doesn't happen overnight, but eventually, these vines will choke all the life from a tree and the tree will be dead. I've seen it. I've been out in the woods enough to see that. And that's what unforgiveness is like. You let a root of bitterness take hold inside of you. You say, this person did me so wrong. Yeah. But you're not hurting them by not letting go. You're just hurting you. And you keep on and you allow that root of bitterness and you fester it. And you keep replaying those events in your mind and you keep demonizing that individual and refusing to forgive. And that's just going to grow. That bitterness will grow and it'll just spread and it'll choke. I have seen it in the lives of so-called Christian people whose whole spiritual life has been consumed by an unforgiving spirit. You got to let it go. Promise you one of these days, I promise you one of these days, God's going to set it right. Let Billy Joe Bob say whatever he wants to. I answer to God and God alone. He's going to set it right one day. When they accused Jesus of a lot of things, he opened not his mouth. He just turned it over to the Lord. Reason number two, why forgive? Because we've been commanded to in our text. And I like this at Colossians 3. I like that. a lot, and I'm just going to read it again. I know I read it already, but if any man have a quarrel against any, you got an issue? Even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. We've been commanded. So why? Because, number one, if you don't forgive, you're only hurting yourself. Number two, we should forgive because we've been commanded to. Then number three, we should forgive because we have all been forgiven of so much. We should be willing to forgive because we have been forgiven of so much. I would point your mind back to a parable that we studied earlier, Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 through 35. And it's interesting that it's actually in Matthew 18, which talked about discipline and how to be a peacemaker. And if your brother sins against you, you're to go to that person and try to talk to them. And then here is this parable about unforgiveness. And let me just give you a very quick replay of it. There's a man who owes this insurmountable debt to his lord or master, to his boss. He owes this guy so much money he could never pay it back. He's got into debt, not to his eyeballs, over the top of his head. And he goes into to the master, to his lord, and falls down and begs for mercy and says, just please, please be patient with me. I'll pay it all back, which he wouldn't live long enough to pay all back. But his master says, I forgive all. I forgive all. But then that same person, that same man who had just been forgiven of this massive debt, goes out and runs into a guy that owes him $20. And he refuses to forgive that individual and instead has him cast into prison with the silly assumption that he's going to stay there till he pays me back. And then that master, that lord, hears about that and said, how unjust, how unmerciful is it that I forgave you 10,000 talents and you can't forgive him of a few little farthings, a few little pennies here? In other words, God has forgiven us of so much. We are like that man who owes a debt to God that we cannot pay. Our sin debt is so insurmountable, we can't pay it. But God has freely forgiven all in Christ Jesus. And now says, forgive one another. Ephesians 4:32, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. So we ought to forgive because we've been forgiven so much. Fourthly, I think we should forgive because we're never more like God than we willingly forgive. We're never more like God than when we forgive. It is the heart of God to forgive repentant sinners. It is the heart of God. Let me come back here to this definition. It is what God does through Christ to overlook a wrong or offense, to forgive. Now understand, He does that in Christ because Christ took our sins. But we are never more like Him than when we forgive. Fifthly, unforgiveness or an unforgiving spirit. Why should we forgive? Because unforgiveness or an unforgiving spirit injures our walk and fellowship with Christ. You remember the model prayer, forgive us our debts as we forgive those, or forgive our debtors as we forgive those who are indebted to us. You remember at the close of that, if we forgive not, it says that God will not forgive us. Mark 11:25-26. When you read that, it may sound like, hey, listen, if I don't forgive Billy Joe Bob, then God's not going to forgive me. Well, all of our sins are cast into the sea of God's forgetfulness, never to be held against us anymore. But if we fail to forgive, it hinders our fellowship with God, because God is a forgiving Father. He willingly embraces the prodigal son. And because God is a forgiving Father, when we refuse to forgive others, it hinders our fellowship with Him. Again, sometimes this process takes years, decades even. But if there's something in your heart, in your life, maybe God this evening has brought something to the forefront of your mind that you need to be praying about and asking for extra grace to forgive and let go. So let us forgive one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, or because of what Christ has done, has forgiven you. I stole this three little thoughts here from that parable of the unmerciful servant that I mentioned in Matthew 18. How has God forgiven you? In Christ, God has forgiven you fully. He has forgiven you freely. And He has forgiven you frequently. Christian, has God forgiven you frequently? I think I know the answer to that question. Has God forgiven you frequently? Yeah. Well, how often should I forgive my brother? Till seven times? No. Old Peter, when he came to Jesus saying that, he really thought he was going to get an attaboy. He really thought that Jesus was going to say, Peter, you're such a forgiving guy. Way to go. But instead, Jesus says, no, not seven times, but 70 times seven. Or, to understand what Jesus means, you keep on forgiving. Just like God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven us. And has He forgiven us fully? Yes, He has. Has He forgiven us freely or without a cause? Yes, because of His kindness, His love, His compassion. Because of what Jesus endured at Calvary, God always and graciously forgives us of our every sin. Frequently, fully, and freely. Tonight I close with this thought. Blessed are the peacemakers. You ever thought about this? Who do you make peace with? You don't make peace with people that you're already at peace with. Right? You don't have to make peace with them. You're already at peace with them. You're already in fellowship with them. You make peace with those with whom have offended you or hurt you or done you wrong. So tonight, is there someone that you need to forgive? Is there some unforgiveness harboring in your heart? Or is there someone you need to apologize to? Is there someone that you need to say, I'm sorry, please forgive me? Everybody says forgiveness is a great thing until they have something to forgive. Right? So tonight, is there something you need to apologize for? Is there something you need to forgive another of? Forgive one another. And friends, tomorrow I may make you mad. You got to forgive me. I may do it again. You got to forgive me. But believe it or not, that might come this way too. We have to forgive one another. Why would Paul tell these churches to do that if it wasn't going to be required? Just necessary sometimes that we forgive one another. All right.